Welcome to the Chromecast, the official podcast from Chrome Unboxed, where we unpack everything from hardware to software in the world of Chrome and Chrome OS, so that you can be more informed on all the latest updates, changes, and devices.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Forget the frustration of picking commerce platforms when you switch your business to Shopify, the global commerce platform that supercharges your selling wherever you sell. With Shopify, you'll harness the same intuitive features, trusted apps, and powerful analytics used by the world's leading brands. Sign up today for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/tech, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/tech.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hey, what's up, everyone? Joe here. This is Future Joe, Editing Joe. I have gone back and edited this episode, and Robbie and I did a little bit of a different episode here. We recorded remotely, and we used the software that we've used several times before. We've done several interviews with Riverside, and for some reason, we had a few different technical issues. Some of it's on our end. Some of it, Riverside was cutting in and out. Anywho, the audio you might notice is a little different. There, you might notice a little delay here and there. There's a little bit of maybe some feedback. If you listen closely, if you're listening with headphones, you might notice that. So just a fair warning, if you do notice that, I apologize. We would rather get this episode out so that you all can hear it instead of just totally scrapping it. We didn't have time to do another episode today, so we wanted to get it out there. We wanted you all to be able to hear it. But there are a few audio issues. So I do apologize for that. If the audio's driving you crazy, I'm sorry. It was driving me crazy. I know it was driving me crazy. So if it's driving you crazy, sorry. We'll get back to high quality audio next week. But just wanted to give that quick heads up. But let's hop into the episode. What's up, everyone? And welcome back to another episode. If it sounds a little different, that's because most people probably aren't gonna notice. But if you are the,
now that you pointed it out, they will.
If you're the type that listens to our podcast with a set of great headphones, you might notice a slight quality difference. I am currently recording at my house with a gaming headset, so I had every intention of bringing home the. We have an extra Shure microphone, and I was going to go get a little...
It's back in the side room, isn't it?
Yeah, it's in the studio, storage studio is what I call it. And I was going to go get an adapter and be rocking and rolling, and then I forgot.
Good.
I walked straight out of the office yesterday, and I did not grab that. So
Joe's using a Turtle Beach.
Yes,
that's it, right?
I am. If we were to ever get back doing video, it could be fun to do video like with this sort of setup. Maybe a little easier than doing a full thing. I was like, yeah, who was I watching? Oh, the Kelsey brothers, the New Heights podcast that's blown up with all the Travis Kelsey stuff, Taylor Swift.
Oh, yeah.
So they have nice cameras. You know, like they have probably some decent cameras hooked into their, you know, setups, but they both, it's kind of like this, you know, like they do it at home. The Foreplay guys do it like this as well. Could be something fun to try maybe down the road, but for now we are doing audio only. And we're hopping into another episode, a little bit of a different audio setup, but we hope you enjoy still. So since we did our last episode, we normally do the show on Fridays. And Fridays are always a little weird. You know, it's Friday. We're kind of like, you know, just a different mood Fridays normally.
Different vibe.
and we normally put out the podcast Friday or maybe Saturday morning. And I was sitting and thinking about it. And I was like, I don't listen to podcasts on the weekends very often. Like, I listen to podcasts during the week when I'm commuting, or, you know, when I'm, you know, doing other stuff, working. And I feel like we've been shooting ourselves in the foot by doing this podcast on Friday, Saturday, late Friday.
Probably
normally.
Not publishing it till Friday evening.
Yeah. Like, I feel like Saturday morning, maybe, you know, some people would still get around to it, but we're going to try this new format. We're going to start doing it Tuesdays, maybe Mondays, and put it out Monday, Tuesday. So because of that, all of that to say, our last episode has been, it's been a week and a half now. And since then, we've put out two reviews.
Yep.
We're just cranking out.
We're on the review train.
We're cranking them out. That's what we do. We're Chromebook Plus review guys now.
Yeah. So yeah, I mean, you know, it probably to the detriment a little bit of people who haven't watched all the Chromebook Plus reviews. Perhaps, you know, they're going to watch this latest one and be like, wow, that was really to the point. And they might want some extra detail. I don't even know if they'd have to go watch the other reviews. I really don't think that. Like, I don't leave anything out in this, but I just don't think it needs to be like beaten into people's heads anymore that like Chromebook Plus means that it's a good user experience. Like, at the end of the day, like, there are hardware requirements that are there that work. It doesn't mean things are perfect. It doesn't mean and I don't think any Chromebook Plus is giving anyone the HP Dragonfly Pro experience. It's just, that's not what they're after. It's not what they're trying to do. But I would say that the Slim 3i, more than most of them, as long as you're not looking for a convertible or something like take notes on with a pen, what else doesn't it do? Or if you're not looking for like the 16x10 screen, you know, I know some people are like really crazy about those. You know, it does all the rest of the stuff so well. Like, it really does exceptionally better at a lot of things than other Chromebooks do. So it's got great I.O., really good punchy IPS screen. It's a standard 14-inch 16x9 screen, but it's full HD. It's rated at 300 nits. I've measured it a little bit over, but it's anti-glare and touch, and so it feels brighter than it registers. The colors are really excellent. Contrast is awesome. The keyboard is fantastic. Like, it sounds good. It looks good. It feels good. Even the backlighting doesn't bleed out like it does in most Chromebooks. Have a ton of light bleed around the bottoms of the keys. And this one is, you know, very contained. Again, feels very like high end compared to most others. And even though it's got a plastic like Mylar trackpad, it's super smooth, perfectly seated, great click. The chassis is ultra firm. Like, even though the whole bottom half of it's plastic, there's no give in it whatsoever. It just it feels like it's made of aluminum. The lid is, like I said, good ports. Obviously, the, you know, Chromebook Plus means the internals are fast. So I mean, like, you put all that stuff together, and as long as you aren't after a convertible, I'd say you'd have a hard time finding you know, anything that's anywhere near as good as this device. It's just good.
Yeah, just, and good. especially at this sale price.
Yeah, I mean, that's the other thing. Like, at $375, it's like, I just don't know that there's too many other devices that you're gonna come across that are gonna get you all that you get in this device. And it doesn't look that exceptional on the desk. Like, it looks very plain. Like, very just like, oh, look, it's a laptop. You know, there's just nothing about it. You're like, wow, look at that. But man, the first time you pick it up and start using it, it's good. It's really good. And so for sub $400, it doesn't feel at all like a sub $400 Chromebook. I really do enjoy it. It's like on that same level of enjoyment of using it as I get from like the Acer 516 GE. Just like, I use it and I'm like, yes, you do all the things I expect from a Chromebook really good. Like, I just don't have to worry about you. I don't have to think about it. The Chromebook just gets completely out of the way and lets you get into your stuff. And those are the devices to me that make the best Chromebooks. And again, I mean, it's not perfect. And I think because there's a group of people that are like, I hate convertibles because I don't like a floppy hinge. I'd rather it be firm, and, you know, this kind of thing. Like, because there's multiple form factors of Chromebook, I think that in itself dictates that there'll never be a perfect overall Chromebook. because you could, I could say, you know, to me that Dragonfly is perfect. You know, if there's some things about it, I have small gripes here and there, but like, even if it was perfect for me, somebody who's like, no, I need a convertible device. I need, you know, to be able to write on it, you know, take notes and stuff. Well, okay. Now, all of a sudden it's not perfect for everyone. And maybe at some point in time, there'll be a convertible that feels perfect like a clamshell, but I have a hard time seeing that.
Pixelbook 2 will come along.
Yeah, if the Pixelbook didn't have big honking bezels and, you know, had new hardware in it, you know. But then there's the person that really wants a tablet, that really wants a true detachable, doesn't want keyboards on the back of it. So it's just like, I don't know. You know, there's never going to be a perfect. But I could say as a clamshell Chromebook, this one, the Slim 3i gets way closer than the price tag would have you assume.
I was very surprised by how good the keyboard felt.
Like, yeah, tons of travel, and like, it reminds me of like the framework keyboard or an old MacBook.
It's very fluid, but like still tactile. I don't know how to describe it, but
it's not super clicky. The keys aren't really clicky. It reminds me of old MacBooks, pre 2015 ones that had the really nice travel. Like, think old MacBook Airs before they screwed the keyboard up for a few years. Those super thin ones. It's great, and it's different. You know, like, I've been messing around with the Pixelbook a little bit here and there, and you know, once we get done with these reviews, I want to do a video about that experience. But you know, that's back when, you know, the cool thing was to have super low travel, but it feels great. Like, you can get away with it if it's done really well, but it feel like it requires a lot of engineering to create that. And I guess it's for thinness too, but you know, I just feel like it was the cool thing to do for a little while, to have like the lowest travel but still have enough feedback so that your keyframe is super thin. And I feel like we've kind of moved past that a little bit. Like, it's okay. Like, the laptop doesn't have to be wafer thin. Like, it doesn't serve any extra purpose. It's going to go in a bag and then go on a desk usually, or in your lap. Like, you're not putting it in your pocket. And so, you know, if there's a little extra room for better speakers, a bigger battery, plenty of travel on your keyboard, fine. No one's going to get upset about 2 more millimeters on the thickness of a device. And like, that's, I feel like the Slim 3i leans completely into that mentality. It's not the thinnest Chromebook or the lightest for its size. Like, it's none of those things. It's not the most attractive Chromebook. Doesn't have the smallest bezels, but none of those things are so bad. It's not the thickest Chromebook. It's not the heaviest Chromebook. It doesn't have the largest bezels. Like, it's none of those things. It's just like right in the middle, in the sweet spot. And then it excels in these little spots where it needs to in order to be great. And it, you feel it when you use it. I mean, it's, and that sucks. It's not at Best Buy, so people can't go pick it up, which is a serious bummer. You just got to trust me.
Yeah.
I've handled them all.
Yeah.
Trust me. It's good.
It's hard to get B-roll of a device like this that isn't super flashy. Like, all the shots kind of just, like, I don't know, they all kind of look the same.
Trying to film oatmeal, you know. Right. Like, look at that.
But I
agree. You know what? Oatmeal's awesome.
Yeah, but it was... I wasn't super excited, like, oh man, this shot looks incredible. Yeah, I tried to get as many detailed shots as I can. Like, that's the thing. We're always trying to get as many, you know, shots that show you the device. But then as I'm sitting there filming it, you know, I'm opening it, I'm closing it, I'm handling it a little bit. And there is that just little something with this Chromebook. Yep. That it's, and I think it, for me, it was just the rigidity of it. Like, because whenever I'm filming, and it's so funny, like, whenever we were at the, I think that was the Chromebook Plus event, we were sitting there filming some B-roll, I think, of the CX34. And, whenever I'm filming, I'll normally have my camera in one hand, and I'm kind of grabbing I'll grab Chromebooks by the lid, and, like, right, I'm just kind of throwing them around. And I want to say it was Miletus who was like, wow, you're just flinging that thing around, huh? It's
like, just kind of manhandling it there.
You know, it's fine. But this thing, you know, like, grabbing it by the corner, moving it around on the table, getting different shots, it just had that rigidity. And you've said it so many times about this device, but that was surprising. That was, you know, and it's doesn't look like it would be that rigid because of the plastic bottom. Like, when you glance at it, you're like, oh, this thing's gonna be just like whatever. But
But then that tells me, you know, ultimately, when it comes down to Chromebooks, it is a decision by the manufacturer to have that or not have that. Like, and I'm sure it probably costs a little bit more or requires a little bit extra care or R&D or I don't know, something. But, you know, it makes such a difference. I can't imagine it adds that much cost to think about how to make the chassis more rigid. But there's something about it that I think that adds, you know, a better frame for your keyboard and your trackpad and like all of it. It just kind of comes from there. And so, you know, I think about devices that are kind of soured in my view, like the HP, you know, like that for years had this, you know, pretty much all aluminum chassis and the screen just wasn't great. And then they didn't go brighten the screen, but at least they did 16 by 10, you know, and it's like, oh, cool, this is great. And then you pick it up and it's like, what the
hell? No.
How did you forget to do this part? Like, why is the trackpad clicking when I pick it up, you know, off the table? Like, that stuff's frustrating.
And that's the X360 14C, right?
Yeah, yeah. The newest one. So yeah. There's been multiple of them, and that was never a problem prior to the Chromebook Plus model. So it's like, that stuff's frustrating. Because it's like, you already had that solved. Why do we move backwards? And I get the chassis is a little different because it's a 16 by 10 screen, but probably not that much different because it had a pretty big bezel on it. The old one did.
So, yeah. They were like, we spent more money on the screen to get this 16 by 10.
Cheapen the chassis, baby.
So we had to save some money on this chassis. So the Slim 3i, are you saying this is your favorite Chromebook Plus device?
Yes, for sure. Yeah, no question. I think I've put out the deal article. It's like, this is, you know, my favorite Chromebook Plus is on sale. Like, there's some other good ones that I really like using, like the Asus CM34 went back on sale finally today. And I was like, man, it feels like it's been forever. I look back, it's been since November. It has not been on sale all of December, all of January, most of February. And it's funny because that one, remember, came out. It was one of the ones that had a pre-plus model. The CM34 is the exact same. And it was on sale for $300 constantly. Like, it was always $299. So I was like, this thing's always going to be on sale. And then it's like, once it got out and the non-plus branded one finally clearanced out, it just doesn't go on sale that often. And it's usually only $100 off now. But it's another one that's just like quietly great. It's just a really good device, and it becomes the one that I'm like, hey, if you want a convertible, that's probably the one you should go get. You know, like the Flex 5i, I think, makes a good case too. Like, they're all just solid. Like, the CM34 is chunky and heavy, you know, for a 14-inch Chromebook. But, you know, it just does that Chromebook Plus thing. It, you know, it doesn't do so much wrong that it gets it its own way. Like, they're good. They're fun to use, and looking forward to, you know, this year seeing some new models come out. You know, it should start with the Expert Book, you know, as the first like 2024 Chromebook Plus model that I think is going to shake some things up a little bit. Hopefully, we've talked quite a bit about it in the past, but, you know, I think the model that we have, the one that we're going to see in the U.S. first, hopefully should be, you know, in that price range that makes it competitive. We thought at first it'd be super expensive, but I really don't think it's going to be. I think that model will probably be in that $700 range with the HPs of the world. And again, it's not perfect. It's not a convertible. You know, it's missing different things, you know, that different people might want. But I think it's going to be an excellent Chromebook for a lot of people looking for just a down-the-pipe kind of clamshell Chromebook. But
yeah,
that's for another time.
Yeah. One thing I did want to say on the Slim 3i before we kind of wrap up that one, you might notice in the B-roll watching the review that the device that we have is not the Chromebook Plus branded version. There is a Chromebook Plus branded version. We put it in the video. Like, I did a screen grab of the Lenovo website so you can see that. Yeah, they are the... Is the other one still floating exactly around the out same. There? It's still, like, you can still go get it.
I think
it.
It's come.
The non-branded?
It fell off Lenovo's page.
Okay.
I think in the last couple of weeks. I think
that's I was looking just to see if I could find it this whenever I was doing the review, and I couldn't find it. So, yeah, I didn't know if it was floating around anywhere else. But, yeah, everything that we've linked to you know, Robbie's deal article that he's referring to is all this, the newer Chromebook Plus branded,
yeah, the branded
version.
One. And we confirmed with Lenovo, like we asked them, hey, can we get the branded version for videos? And they were like, well, we sent these other ones out for, these were our review units, but they're the exact same thing. So, right. So just, there's nothing to worry about.
Right.
It's,
yeah.
It's the same device.
It's same, is same. And
if, I think the only one that was out prior and then came out and was changed is the HP. Because the one that was out prior was 8128, no finger, or wait, 8128 with a fingerprint scanner. It took the fingerprint scanner off, doubled the storage for the actual Chromebook Plus one. But other than that, it's the exact same.
Yeah. Yeah. So, so yes, go check out that Slim 3i review. It was, like Robbie said, these are kind of shorter reviews, but it's like you don't want to beat a dead horse, but you want to talk about the things that are important, that are the differentiators. But there aren't. It's like the differentiators are these kind of, you know, the feel thing, and the keyboard feels this little bit away, and the screen's right. A little different. Like all the normal stuff is there. That's the point of Chromebook Plus. You know,
like, as long as you like the look of it, or maybe you like HP's better, or whatever. Okay,
yeah,
it's Chromebook Plus.
The basics are covered.
Good. Yeah, it's going to provide a good experience.
Right.
And, I mean, if we're going to talk about the other one, you know, the CX34, it's literally the same story here. Like, it's a clamshell. It's not a touchscreen. You know, it's the flashiest of the group.
It's a good looking device.
If you're after something that just has a little bit of pizzazz to it, the white chassis with the kind of speckles on it and stuff, it definitely doesn't look like the rest of them, which is cool. It's good keyboard, good trackpad, plastic, and for a plastic, an all plastic Chromebook, relatively rigid, which is nice and light. So it feels pretty well built. There's some sharpness to some of the edges on it that are a little weird, but it's not like, again, not like deal breaker. It doesn't feel like, it feels like it was designed that way versus it's not put together right. It's just like they wanted to go with some sharp edges, and that's what it is.
And it's kind of like in weird spots, like where the lid mm-hmm. comes down, there's almost like a little, the I don't know, if I can't remember if it's the lid or the bottom that has like an angle to it, so then there's like a little edge right there. I don't know, I've got yeah. B-roll of it. If you go watch the review,
yeah,
you can see it.
It's sharp, like
yeah.
in the literal sharp way, not it's, like, ooh, that's a sharp dressed man, like it's, no, it's sharp.
It's not as angular as like the CX9, but it's got that sort of vibe,
a bit
almost.
Of that, yeah,
yeah, a
but,
little bit,
you know. It looks good. The backlighting on the keyboard is weird on it, in the same way that it's been weird on lots of Asus devices with gray keys. You know, it's like, I don't know. It most times you just got to turn it off. And if you're in a decently lit room and you turn it up, you're not going to be able to see the symbols on the keys. And I don't know.
Just stop. What? Just stop doing it.
And I like gray keys on a white device. Don't get me wrong. It looks good. But like, you need to create whatever you need in the under the keys that, I don't even know how you do it. Maybe you just need brighter backlighting, because the Dragonfly Pro have, it had gray keycaps, right? The white one? I'm pretty sure it did.
I think so.
It had gray keycaps, and the backlighting on that device is awesome, because it's probably 3-4 times as bright as most Chromebooks. So it never had a problem. But so that's probably part of it. Like, if you're going to do that, you just got to pony up for the extra backlighting. But yeah, I mean, it's same thing here. It's a Core i3, 8 gigs of RAM, 128 gigs of storage, 1080p, 16:9 screen, 300 nits. Like, we keep saying the same thing over and over again. And so it's like, well, what makes this one different? And it's, you know, it's the chassis, really, on this one. And the screen's really good. I think the screen on the 3i is better, and it's touch. But, you know, in the looks department, you know, Asus wins there. It just looks better. But yeah, I mean, again, it's one of those, it's at Target, rarely goes on sale, $400 most of the time. And when the 3i is under $400, there's just no way to even think about telling you to go get that over the 3i. So, but it's, you know, again, it's Chromebook Plus. It's good. It's got a solid, you know, it's a solid experience. There's a couple little nitpicks with the keyboard or whatever. But
yeah,
it's good.
The CX34 also, you said the trackpad was a little jittery, and like
yeah,
the corners weren't quite set well.
Yeah, so it had some flop to it. And I always hate to, I don't know, I hate to point that out sometimes because I'm like, it could just be the one that we have. But it's one of those things, you know, I would get the thing out of the box and check that immediately. You know, and you can check, before you even turn it on, you can touch the trackpad. If it wiggles before it clicks, like, you're going to have that kind of double click feel all the time. And it just makes everything feel cheap. But on top of that, like, the plastic trackpad, I feel like wasn't as smooth. You know, like the cursor moving on the screen wasn't always, I didn't feel very confident all the time that it's going to go exactly where I stop it. It just
don't
wasn't
love that.
The best trackpad. No.
Yeah.
And I use a mouse a lot at the desk. And so sometimes I discount that and I don't think about it too much, but I'll always force myself to use just the keyboard trackpad and screen for a little while I'm messing with the, you know, I'll do a whole morning's worth of work and unplug from everything and just use it. And I noticed it pretty quickly. It was a little frustrating, but again, it could have just been our device that we had. We got one of the ones at the Google event. So, you know, that's one of those things that if you like the white chassis and you kind of want that look and you get it, I would just check that first. And if there's a problem, take it back, you know, and just be like, look, the trackpad's not seated in here properly. If it happens again, honestly, if you get one out of the box and it's that way, and I've said it in the review, it's probably a good chance that that's just the way they came off the line. You might want to find a different Chromebook, but that's what return policies are for.
Yeah, I want to say whenever we were putting this one together, where was I looking? I was just looking around to see if anybody had said anything. I didn't see anything, hadn't heard anything about people having that issue, but like you said, not sure there. I think
some people don't care as much, right, as I do.
Yeah,
about
exactly.
They're just like,
they're like,
know,
yeah, it's fine. Yeah, it's fine. I think with this one, you know, it is flashy. It's got a bit of flair to it. So I think that's the thing with this one. I mean, when we saw it at the event, we were like, whoa, like, cool. Like, what is this white? It's almost got like a little speckle to it. I was working on a thumbnail the other day and got a few kind of tight shots of it. And it's just a cool texture. It's a nice, looking device. So, you know, if that's what you're into and if that's what you're looking for, the CX34 might be the Chromebook for you. So let's next talk about Zoll. Cause I can't remember. I was trying to pull up the podcast. No, I don't.
There's no way. Yeah. Cause I have two.
No,
posts
I don't think we talked about
the one
it at
post
all.
Was like end of last week. And the one before that I wrote 3 days ago when we uncovered Zoll. So it was all last week.
First and foremost, great name. X O L.
Apparently it's
just
from,
awesome.
It's a boss in Destiny 2. So most of the Braia boards, so Braia is anything that's a 12th gen or 13th gen Intel device. So Raptor Lake it's so close to the 12th gens that they just, you know, they kept the same baseboard for them. And so, yeah, most of those are Destiny. And I think so I wrote that, and then Kyle over at 9to5 picked up the Sammy references, which I had already, I knew, and I put in the post. I was like, okay, yeah, let's show my cards here. Like, I knew that it was a Samsung device. Sometimes I like to divide those things up. Like, let me do one, and then tomorrow I'll come back. And we got sidetracked doing other stuff, and I kind of forgot. And so the next day, he published his, and he included some stuff about Samsung. And I was like, well, that cat's out of the bag, so I'll just do my post now. And I don't want to not reference, you know, that they pointed that out. But yeah, I knew that part already. But he pointed out that Zoll was a character in Destiny. I never got into Destiny. It was never my thing. I tried when Stadia came out, and I was like, this is too much.
It looks like a super fun game.
Let's do a raid. It's 3.5 hours.
I don't have the time commitment for those sorts of games.
I do not. If I'm going to spend 3.5 hours on any game, it's going to be golf.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. But yeah, you've got some details here on a device that, like you said, might be a Samsung Galaxy Chromebook Plus.
I'm putting it out there. That's what it's going to be.
Yeah.
I'm going to hedge my bets. I'll have to eat crow if I'm wrong. But
yeah.
You heard it here. Samsung Galaxy Chromebook Plus. Which is awesome because it sounds great. They made the Samsung Chromebook Plus and Pro. So now it's the Samsung Galaxy Chromebook Plus.
It's great. Yeah, it's great.
It works. It works really well.
So what have you found that is pointing to Samsung on this one?
Just a couple emails that are on them that basically are only on devices that are Samsung. We got a little bit of insider info about Pira or whatever. I don't remember how we pronounce that. Pirra. That is a NISA device, which is small core Intel 12th gen. So like the Slim 3i is a NISA built device. I can't think of the baseboard for that one or the dev board for that one, but the main baseboard it's built from is NISA. And Pira was a NISA device, but we were told from some people who know better than we that not to pay too close of attention to that one. That was a bit of a red herring, something that Samsung was definitely toying with, but probably not going to be a thing. And so, there's been a little bit of movement on it, but that has some Samsung emails on it. And so it was Samsung. It's not like it wasn't. But if you go back and look at the, Bugsy, which is the Galaxy Chromebook 2 360 thing that came out, and even moving all the way back to the Galaxy Chromebook, there's a couple guys that are gals. I'm not sure some of their names, the way that they appear in there, it's not quite clear. But there's a couple that appear on most Samsung things. And so when I see those, I'm just like, oh, okay. Pretty clear that these people are involved and Samsung's involved because they don't have a lot of, hey, our Samsung guys are going to go in here and just do code changes for random other things too. Yeah. We're just out here to help everybody out. Like,
not really how it works.
Yeah, they're there on purpose. And so Zole is clearly Samsung. It's clearly at least 12th gen. I don't know. I think it showed up 13th gen, so it was a Raptor Lake, which I like. I'm happy about that. I think there's a chance that they can. I don't remember if there's a distinct baseboard for 14th gen, but I'm pretty sure the Core Ultra chips are different enough. They're going to have their own baseboard, if I remember correctly. The reason I'm kind of happy about that is we don't technically have a Core Ultra device out in the wild yet. The Expert Book is one of those, and ours is pre-production. So this is no indictment on Asus or that device at all, but it's buggy as all get out. And so, it's just a part of a new processor family kind of coming into the Chromebook fold. Always happens. Just takes time for them to work those bugs out and all that kind of stuff. And so I would much rather see Samsung roll something out in that 13th gen where Raptor Lake is kind of this cleaned up, bettered version of an older, 12th gen chip. Like the 13th gen chip that's in the Spin 714 that we have here in the office, fantastic. Like I never have any issues out of that device. So I kind of rather see them roll something like that out. We have so much overhead in processors anyway at this point. It's not like, oh God, if we get the next processor, then we'll be able to whatever. Like you get a 12th gen Core i5, you're good for a long, long time. Long, long time. So that's about all we know about it. Kyle did also find something that showed that it was definitely a clamshell.
Yeah, so that's what I was ready to say.
It just disabled tablet mode on it. So that then gets my mind going to something that I was thinking about writing. It's more of just like a fleshing it out, think piece kind of thing. But if you've seen Samsung's Galaxy Books, especially the Galaxy Book Pro, like at Best Buy right now, go to Best Buy and just go open one of those things up and just handle it for just a second. Something like that with Chrome OS on it? Yes, please. It's their MacBook vibes all day long. And, kind of unashamedly, like, taking that build quality aesthetic and feel and taking that and running with it. And it's they're gorgeous devices. The last couple years of those devices have been fantastic. And so if that's what they're going for, I'm all for it. Go build something super duper nice. and make it the new Samsung Galaxy Chromebook Plus, and it'll be awesome. I've been digging.
I like the name.
This last week,
I like the name. I like the idea.
Yeah, there's been a couple changes this week, and nothing big. So we'll obviously just keeping an eye on it. And with Intel devices, we'll, unless they add a specific panel or something that they've got to, you know, get Intel to work with or something, we won't know the sizes on it. And it'd be so cool though if they would do it and do it MacBook style, like do a 13 and a 16 inch, you know, or something, or, you know, do two of them. And it's the Samsung Galaxy Chromebook Plus, and it's in two sizes, you know, like treat it like almost like a MacBook kind of thing. But the big thing about this device, like I'm sitting here beating around the bush, the big thing about it is it's got an assistant key on it. Like that was what clued me into begin even looking at it. Like I saw it pop up, and then I saw something about a custom keyboard setup, which is not that big of a deal anymore, but I usually click in there just so I can see, you know, if there's anything weird or, you know, something that would give something away. Because when they have to define certain keys, it clearly sometimes you can be like, oh, well, they're doing this and so-and-so did that before, and maybe we can, you know, connect the dots here. And it was very clear that there's an assistant key, which, you know, might probably turn to a Gemini key. Hopefully by the time this thing comes out, they make Gemini useful for these types of things. I'm really frustrated with the fact that there was a song on the other day, and I was like, hey, what's this song? It can't do that, you know.
Oh, hey, dude.
Set a reminder. Oh, I can't do that.
Oh, reminders, hey,
turn the lights
are killing
off.
Me.
Turn the lights off. Oh, I can't do that. Well, it's like, what can you do? I'm done banging on about Gemini and Assistant and all that kind of stuff. It's probably going to come with a Gemini key, but we're going to know more in the coming weeks as it just started development in January. So exciting to think about, but we probably aren't going to see this thing until like summer, fall.
Yeah. I'd love to see it maybe this summer. That would be incredible. We need a new device from Samsung. The Samsung Chromebook roadmap has been a bit squirrely, and there's been a few kind of weird releases, but a Galaxy Chromebook Plus could save the day for Chromebook and or for Samsung, and so that would be amazing. And the cool thing too is, like, you know, Google and Samsung seem to be like working very closely on the Android side. You know, you've got the most recent Unpacked event with Hiroshi back on stage again, and they kind of the rollout was kind of strange, but like they kind of put out some of these features that were like Android features, but they almost like kind of talking about them at the event, and so people weren't really sure, like, I don't know, the whole, I think, quick share and all of that was kind of mixed into that. But anywho, the point is they are working closely together, and so, you know, maybe it's time. Maybe it's time that they're back working together on a Chromebook, and maybe Google is saying, hey, Samsung, we'd really love to have you back in the fold, and we have this great new initiative that we would love for you to be a part of. So hopefully that's the case. But yeah, we'll report more on this one. Hopefully there will be more in the repositories that Robbie will be digging up. And he's not going to hold it anymore. When he finds it, he's going to write it. He's not going to sit and wait until the next day to write it. He's going to write it as soon as it comes to him. He's just going to knock it out. But we appreciate y'all tuning in and listening for this week's episode. We're kind of just testing out this little new format. We'll see how it sounds once I get this one edited down. But this was fun, and we appreciate y'all tuning in, and we'll catch you in the next one. See ya.
Hey guys, thanks for tuning in. You can find show notes over at chromeunboxed.com/podcast. And if you want to stay up to date with everything that's happening in the world of Chrome and Chrome OS, make sure to check out our website, chromeunboxed.com, and follow us on social media by searching for @ChromeUnboxed. Thanks again for listening, and we'll see you next time.